The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory. Pride. Passion. In search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Welcome along, Series 4, Episode 2 of the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
We have got loads and loads to get through today. There's already been 2 weeks of MLS action, and we've got a little bit of silly stuff for you as well. Henry, 2 weeks in already, the time is flying by. MLS is back.
It is. And what I've realised as well is that it's only been 2 weeks since episode one, our preview episode, and there's already so much of what we said that is wrong. Completely wrong. We've backed the wrong horses. We said Montreal would struggle and they're top of the conference.
Yeah.
We shouldn't expect anything different from MLS, should we?
If you've, from this podcast as well, if you've been watching this podcast or listening to this podcast for long enough, you know that any predictions we made in that first episode, there was no need to take them to heart. You know, if we said your team might struggle, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Few people noticed that the year that Seattle won the MLS Cup was the year that Poppy said that their kit was her favorite.
Yeah.
So a lot of people saying, oh, well, now she loves that new Hendrix Seattle kit. This is it. They're going to go and win MLS Cup. I don't disagree with you so far.
No, if you're a betting person, listen to Poppy. Into Miami fans, you. She also said your kit. So you might be in for a good season as well. Welcome to episode two. We've got so much to talk about today. Mark Turner from Last Word on Soccer, he's Austin fan. He goes, watches them, he reports on them. You had a chat with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this chat, and I'll let you in on a little secret as well. When we agreed to catch up with him, he said that he just got back from LA, Austin's first ever game at the Bank of California Stadium. He'd been there, and I was just desperate to chat to him all about it. And then I found out that he's British as well. So he's literally MLS UK through and through, lives in America, British Austin fan, and he went to the game. I can't even imagine what it must be like to go to a football match. I've completely forgotten that. But yeah, really, really nice chat with Mark about Austin and the season ahead for them.
Yeah, and coming up as well today is, because in episode one, because it was a preview episode, we literally had Poppy's kit reviews and our previews, and we still went over. So all your favourite games, Crisis Right is back today, Henry's Guide to North America, that's back today.
You've really missed Henry's Guide, let's be honest.
And you missed the theme tune.
That's enough.
I'm looking at one of the MLS team either states or cities. I'm not going to give too much away. However, It's we are kind of theming today's episode on one team in particular. We have just given you a hint, so maybe that's a hint of where I'm going to today. So that's coming up. We'll also give our match predictions for this weekend, and we'll have a look for the first time this season on who is the unofficial MLS UK champions. We'll tell you more about that later on. But first, we talked about Poppy's kit reviews before. A lot of people pointing out that Seattle are going to win MLS Cup because she said that their kit is the best one. And you had a message, didn't you, about Poppy's kit reviews from this weekend?
Yeah, during the Philly-Miami game, somebody messaged to say, but as much as we enjoyed Poppy's kit reviews, what does she think to Phil Neville's pink tracksuit top? Because there's quite a lot going on.
So I asked her. So here we are. Here is Poppy's 1 second review of Phil Neville's pink tracksuit top he wore in the Philadelphia game this weekend.
Can I have one?
Is that it?
She liked it. That's all she said. And I went,
can I have one?
It's a birthday on Monday the 3rd of May, so maybe one.
You're not getting her in my app. I'm drawing the line there. I'm drawing the line there. That's that clip, by the way, is staying on this hotkey bank forever.
Can I have one?
That is incredible.
What else? We've had quite a lot of responses, haven't we, about stuff that we've spoke about on episode one. And one of them I noticed, it was John on Twitter. He tweeted us saying, really glad you guys are back, but I'm disappointed the intro has not got the sound bites that we had in the last series. Now, the reason for that is literally because, if you remember, it says in one of them, Bolton are down, Norwich are down. Norwich, congratulations, Norwich have been promoted back to the Premier League. Bolton need one more win to get promoted. So when it says full of frustration,
the narrative's not quite right at the minute,
no,
is it?
Full of despair.
Norwich are doing better than Orlando. But yeah, I think throughout the season, we'll start to add those back in. I've maybe got something that I think should go straight in there.
Okay.
Can I?
At what part would that go? What part would that go in?
Full of frustration, full of despair.
And disappointment. Yeah. Can I have one?
In search of silverware, maybe?
Yeah, could be.
In search of pride, passion, silver. Yeah, in search of silverware.
Can I have one?
By the way, she's had so many tweets. Thank you if you've tweeted Poppy or got in touch with Poppy in the last 2 weeks, because she has been inundated. She don't really use Twitter, but she started doing it now. And she had a lot of likes when last week I made her watch Columbus v Philadelphia, which she was like watching the Buzzy Bees versus the cheese spread. So she's getting into it. I made her watch San Jose the other day as well against Dallas. The blue kit, it's just a blue kit. Well, that blue kit won. And we'll have a look at what happened this weekend in MLS very soon.
There's a third microphone, which we can set up for if you wanted to just join the team, or we could just replace you. That's your call.
Let's move on. It's the start of an MLS UK show. So, of course, that means it's the game with a change in name. Last time was Iñacho, who never... I'm one down in the series.
Some people were fuming about this, but it was a good shout. Not many people know that.
It was, but I was never going to get that right. So hopefully I'll have a better chance this week.
Okay. If you've not heard the game with a change of name before, this is where I give you the career path of a player who's played in the UK and in MLS. It could have been at any time in any order. Today's started their career. Same age as me, by the way, 29. Started his career at Beershot.
Who are they?
Beershot sounds like a great place. 51 appearances, 2 goals. Just to give you, pick up on the goals here, because it'll give you a clue of the position they play on the pitch, maybe. Then went to Celtic in 2011, played 61 games, 10 goals.
Oh, so he's a bit more prolific for Celtic. But then again, me and you could probably score 10 goals in the Scottish Premier League.
I imagine whatever league Beershot are in, and I have no clue which league that is probably more difficult than playing in the Scottish League for Celtic, just saying. I didn't know this about this player. Now I've seen it written down, it's coming back to me, but I didn't know this. Played for Southampton.
Right.
85 appearances and 4 goals. If you'd have said to me, this is a well-known person, if you'd have said to me, who did they play for? I wouldn't have said Southampton. forgot completely about this period. And I'm going to omit the other team because it will be way too easy. But they now play for Montreal.
Right, okay. The only person that comes to mind straight away who's played for Celtic, Southampton, is Virgil van Dijk. And I know it's definitely not him.
Can you imagine? We keep saying MLS needs better defenders. He's only got one leg at the minute, and I think he'd still make the team.
Right, I'll have a think about it. If you know, tweet us at MLS UK Show. Tell us where you're up to in the podcast as well when you figure it out. Or comment below on YouTube. Because when you comment on YouTube, it makes a timestamp, doesn't it, of where you're up to. So yeah. we'll know. We'll know if you're lying. We'll know if you've gone back to this point and told us to try and make it look good. But we know. We know if you're lying.
Who started their career at Beerschot and now plays in MLS? That's the question. No Googling. Right, shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
The MLS UK Show.
So before we get into this week's MLS action, let's salute and say thanks to our sponsors, Soccer 90. Their website, soccer90.com, has such an incredible array of football stuff, jerseys, tracksuits, the lot.
Yeah, not only from MLS as well, also from the European leagues and the Mexican league as well. If you want to put a little bit of a jinx on one of the Mexican teams ahead of the Champions League this week, then if you go to soccer90.com, use the code MLSUK and you get 25% off.
Right, let's have a look at what happened this week in MLS.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt. MLS UK Show.
Right, well, there's only one place to start this week in MLS. LA Galaxy, he's behind you, Chicharito, with the hat-trick. We said on the last episode of MLS UK Show, our preview episode for the season, that he needs to score goals. And we joked that he needed to score 2 goals in the first half of the first game. Well, he didn't quite do that, but he got him in the second half. He's now got 5. What a start. He's back. This is the Chicharito that we thought we would get in MLS 12 months ago.
Yeah, we were messaging last night during the game, weren't we? And if you look at our Twitter at MLS UK Show, you can see we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves with Chicharito. But the guy's incredible. This is exactly what I was expecting last year.
Yeah.
Let's just forget that he played last year, because this is exactly what I expected, what I anticipated from him. The first goal last night, the fox in the box, anticipating the run. It was a difficult finish, actually, to be fair. A sliced, deflected shot that he's tucked in at the far post. That's him. It doesn't matter if you're not scoring from 40 yards. It's irrelevant. He's going to get so many goals this season from that position. His movement was incredible last night, and I think people aren't talking about that enough. Yeah, it's great he can hit the back of the net, but it's the movement that gets him those easy finishes. They are easy finishes, but you have to be there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's that second goal he scored yesterday, as we record this on the Monday against Red Bulls, where Vasquez passed it to him. That is probably going to be his furthest goal from, furthest out goal. He will score most of his goals in the 6-yard box. But as you said, he's a goal scorer, he's a fox in the box. And those are invaluable to teams, especially if you want to make the playoffs. If you can get a guy who's going to get you 15, 20 goals a season, that is going to put you in the playoffs. So it's a good start for LA Galaxy. And they, maybe Toronto FC as well, but LA Galaxy, 2-3-2 wins, they're going to be the team to watch this season. Not to see how they do, just for action and just for goals.
Bet on goals, bet on lots of goals. I was really impressed with them, and it's just nice to see that kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know Poppy wasn't a fan. I know it reminds her of lads from England going on holiday abroad, but I just think they're in a good place. We talk every year about how Galaxy are just, they're not that team anymore. And I feel like they're becoming that team again, and I like it.
Yeah, well, they've needed a head coach. They've needed Greg Vanney. And when he came into, when it got announced that he was managing them, I think it was around Christmas time, we said to each other, this is exactly what they need. He said at the time, all that Chicharito needs is a bit of a cuddle, a bit of a hug, socially distanced cuddle, but to say that you are one of the best players in this league and we will make you, we will give you the ball, we will give you those chances. That's what they've done after 2 games. Can they win MLS Cup? I think they're very reliant on Chicharito after 2 games.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better than what we've seen.
I want to go back to, as we're looking over the first couple of weeks, I want to go back to some of the predictions that we made. We both very much got on the Cincinnati train.
Well, after 10 minutes of that first game, it was great. It set off from the station. Since then, they've conceded 7 and not scored.
Yeah, 5-0 away at NYCFC. I know that pitch has such a horrible home advantage because it's literally square. Are they going to kick on?
You'd think so, with Acosta and Branagh. And they scored the two goals for him, and it did look like, right, they've got it sorted here. I still don't think they'll finish bottom of the conference. I think they'll come into their own a bit when the new stadium opens as well. But I just think there'll be a lot of Cincinnati fans who would have thought like us, thought, right, this year's the season, we can really push on. So 5-0 in your second game. And the lights have dimmed here in the studio, which could be a metaphor for Cincinnati's season.
Yeah, the lights are out.
But no, as Elliot tries to turn them back on, yeah, I don't think that they'll struggle as much. I think it's out even more. So as every time I say that, I don't think Cincinnati will struggle. The lights go out. There we go, it's better. Right, third time's a charm. I don't think they'll finish bottom of the conference.
Are you sure? I didn't do that. I didn't do that one. That's crazy.
No, I think they'll be fine.
There we go. I think they'll stay on now, maybe.
Right, let's move away from Cincinnati then before we're in complete darkness.
Can I just go for my favourite colour?
I knew he had a purple button on there and I was worried that he would use it. He's taken the second episode for him to do it, but...
I'm sorry.
I tell you what, because I want to talk about Inter Miami and a few of the other games, but before we do, you just made it purple. Let's talk about Orlando. Atlanta starts of the season. We drew 0-0 in that opening game. A very even game, which I think I was more happy about than you.
It was so boring.
Yeah, it was a bit.
It was awful.
Second game, Orlando kicked off the weekend drawing at SKC, which is a good point.
And yeah, yeah.
Atlanta have beaten Chicago. Rather than talk too much about Orlando and Atlanta and how they've started, two goals. Any other season would be seen as goals of a season contenders. Obviously, João Paulo, for example, in the first
so
game.
So good.
Something to say about that. But Nani's back heel, Barco from about 30 yards. They've just contributed to a great start to the season in terms of goals, action. MLS is back.
Yeah, Nani's back heel, right? I know this is a strange thing to say as an Orlando fan, but I think anyone who's played football at a decent level, it's not that difficult. It wasn't like the Barco hit. Like, that's an unbelievable strike. João Paulo, like, incredible. I think Nani, it's just the pure... It's the balls to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, confidence.
Yeah, he didn't look round. He's no point where he knows that that's gone in.
No.
He can't, he doesn't look all the way around. So I think that was maybe it's the way he carried it off is actually the most impressive thing. But yeah, the goals have been so, so good. Mm. I've been so impressed. And what a league to watch.
Yeah.
If you're just like a casual football fan, I said this to Brian in my other half this weekend. We were sat there and it was the Nashville game. And we also then watched the FC Dallas game against San Jose. And I just said to her, I was like, what a league this is. Because there's always something going on, you know, goal line clearances, goals from 30 yards, volleys going top corner. You got to love it.
You have. And also, there's been a lot of games where teams have been leading and the other team has come from behind. Inter Miami, I'm doing it again. I will link this whole podcast together somehow. Inter Miami and disappointment in the first game, losing at home to LA Galaxy. The second game, getting that first win away at Philadelphia Union, who didn't lose regular season at home last season. Big result.
Yeah, when you look, Philly and Columbus were two teams that we really got behind. We said that they were definitely going to be up there, going to be contenders for the Shield. I know, 1 point each, middle of the table. I know we've only played two games, but you've got to admit that you're surprised that, you know, neither of them have picked up a win.
That's the beauty of MLS. It's the beauty, you know, we look at teams like Minnesota. We were bigging them up and they've not won yet. You know, it's how it is. But it will all even itself out. As we know, MLS is, you might as well just write off the first half of the season when it comes to June, July. And of course, we've got the European Championships. We've got like Copa America. We've got all these tournaments as well where, yeah, it is a two-half season. But if you don't pick up points in the first half of the season and then you've got players that are missing in the summer, you're going to struggle. So I think we will see a lot of freak results. And I think as well, we'll see a lot of teams like San Jose of just the 1 week they're great, 1 week they're not, 1 week they're great and 1 week they're not, and then it's just about finding that consistency.
Yeah, there's been a couple of teams, and Orlando's one of them actually. San Jose is a team that I can't work out yet.
Yeah,
because is it that Dallas are that bad that San, you know, because San Jose were really poor in that first game. San Jose really struggled. They looked like they had no midfield whatsoever in that game against Houston. And then they've gone and beaten Dallas quite comfortably. Incredible goal from Caden Clark, by the way, and a great assist as well.
Caden Clark's got a great goal.
Caden Clark as well. All the Cadens. Caden Cowell, unbelievable performance in that game. And you kind of look at them and think, well, which San Jose are we going to get again? Because that's exactly what happened last year. It was like 1 week great, 1 week not so much. Orlando's the same. You know, it's actually really hard to gauge going to Kansas City and getting a point. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
But if you watch the game, I think they could have given so much more. They could have gone and won it. And you think, well, are they going to have that edge? You know, when Pereira comes back, when Jansen comes back, when we've got Pato fit, you know, are they going to start to dominate these games even away at difficult places to go? So there's a lot of question marks at this stage, which is good because it'd be really boring if it was all over already.
No, you're right. And as a result of the start of a season, there's always a lot of like defensive errors and teams working themselves out. No, Orlando had one. Montreal, we mentioned them at the start, but Montreal... they're another team that are going to be great to watch if they carry on the way they're going.
Yeah.
But, okay, Montreal got 4 points, but they should have six. And they shouldn't have conceded as many goals as they have. They look very suspect at the back, but amazing going forward. Mm.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Nashville, another team. I just love to watch them.
Yeah,
Nashville's so good to watch. I messaged you, didn't I? Because they were 2-0 down at the time. And I just thought, how are they losing this? You know, they were completely dominant. I know I'm a Norwich fan. I love everything about Nashville. Like I love the yellow, I love the jersey, massive stadium. Their new one's going to be great. I'm on the Nashville train. I really, really like what they're doing. They look, you hit the nail on the head when we were chatting, you know, before we did the podcast. They just look like they're there. They've got their feet under the table. They are part of MLS now. They don't look like a team that's just rocked up and, you know, played a couple of years.
I want to talk about Austin in a second, and then we're going to speak to, well, you're going to speak to Mark Turner from Last Word on Soccer. Before we do, this weekend we had probably the first big MLS Cup contenders match, LAFC versus Seattle.
Yeah.
LAFC's goal... I told Nuhu not to bother doing the lying behind the wall, which has become a big fad now in football. It's the thing that...
The draft excluder.
Yeah. And I must admit, I watch teams do it and I was like, how many times does that actually happen? Seriously, like, what is the point? Of course, the one time it doesn't happen and LAFC score. But it was a great finish, though.
We tweeted, didn't we, before the first game, saying, has anyone seen this in MLS yet? Because I don't think I had. I don't think last year I saw anyone do it. And then it's obviously become a big thing in the Premier League. I've seen teams do it against Norwich in the Championship. And I wondered who was going to be first to do it. And now that's the evidence. That's why you need to be doing it. Wall jumps up straight under the wall. And at the end of the day, that's costly because that you would have had 3 points there.
Yeah, but a very even game. I think both sides, they are going to be there or thereabouts for MLS Cup. They probably, it wouldn't surprise me if they face each other again in the playoffs. So it's going to be fascinating to watch how both sides do. Brad Smith as well, first goal for Seattle.
A strange finish.
Yeah.
Fair play to him, because I wouldn't be putting my head in there thinking I'm going to get kicked in. You know, he really, really stooped down for that. And somehow it went in. Bizarre goal.
Austin FC, they scored their first goal in MLS. They were 1-0 behind at Colorado Rapids, came back to win 3-1, and there's a good atmosphere behind Austin at the moment. I can't wait for their first home game, but I mean, if they're going to bring as many fans as they are doing to away games, then we don't need to be at home, because it is like a home game.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm really enjoying Austin at the minute. They've not been on TV here, so I've not watched a full Austin game. So full disclosure on that. Can't wait till they're actually on and we can take in a game fully. I like everything they're doing. I really like the roster. We said last week. That the roster is really good, really well balanced, and that's why I'm really excited to kind of spend a bit of time on this podcast chatting to Mark from Last Word on Soccer, because he was actually there at the Bank of California Stadium for their inaugural game. That only happens once. It's amazing. Like, I wish I'd have been at Orlando's first game. Like, that's such a special thing. Yeah. We were never ever going to be at Norwich's first game or Bolton's first game. It's a real moment, and I'm really excited that we get to chat to him.
Yeah, but before we do, I just want to say, for me, the big winners of this weekend, fans being back in grounds.
Yeah.
We watched the LA Galaxy game when that Chicharito goal went in.
So loud.
It was loud, it was great, and we're watching from thousands of miles away, but we were... They're bringing fans back into English football. We'll get to see it next season, but hopefully just the last game of the Premier League. We can't wait for it here, but to see it actually in action... It's just hairs on your arms go off, and it's MLS is back, the fans are back, and it's getting back to some normality.
Yeah, 100% agree. Lots of people that listen to the podcast that we follow, they follow us. We're at games this weekend. I was so jealous. The guys, LA is our house. We're at the Galaxy game, saw loads of people tweeting those guys. So yeah, if you are going to a game, please just enjoy it and really make the most of it, because we're so jealous. Anyway, here's what happened when I had a chat with Mark Turner from Last Word on Soccer, who was at Austin's first ever soccer game at the LAFC Bank of California Stadium.
The MLS UK Show.
It's the MLS UK Show. This is Elliot Holman, and I'm chatting to Mark Turner from Last Word on Soccer. Mark, you are an avid Austin FC fan, which is impressive. They've only played one game.
I am. I'm very avid. I moved to the city about 2 years ago and immediately immersed myself in Verde and got my media credentials and have been following the team ever since. So there are really only three teams that I am fully in love with. There are lots that I dabble with, but I'm a Nottingham Forest fan from way back. I'm a Colorado Switchbacks fan because I lived in Colorado for about 20 years. So they're my USL team. And now I have an MLS team.
Well, welcome to the crazy world that is MLS. And thank you so much for joining us. What's your story, by the way? Because we can tell that you don't have much of an American accent. And how have you ended up over there, and why Austin?
Yeah, so I've been in the States now for about 20 years. As I mentioned before, I'm a Forest fan from way back. So I'm, of course, originally from the UK. Actually, not from Nottingham. That's another story for another pod. But I attached myself to Forest very early doors. And for the first 15, 20 years of that supportership, that seemed like a really good idea. Not so much the last 20 years. But moved to the States about 20 years ago and moved to Colorado. As I mentioned, Colorado Springs. That was really a work move. My wife is also American, so that helped facilitate that process, and really loved it. Absolutely loved Colorado, loved Colorado Springs specifically. Could never really get in with the Rapids. I had an affection for them. Like, I'd look from afar, but Dick's Sporting Good Park, it's just a bear to get to. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I can't really get down with a team that wears purple. Wow. So that never really jived for me. But really where I found my niche was in writing for Last Word on Soccer. And so I did that for about the last year of my time in Colorado Springs. And then when I moved to Austin, my editor said, you know, we don't have a beat writer covering Austin. He didn't need to finish the sentence. I was like, I got this. So yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, I've been in the city now to see some of the really significant milestones. So I was there when Rodney Redes was announced as being the first signing. I was there when the shirt was revealed, and I think I was the third person to purchase a shirt from the Verde van. I was there when they announced Yeti as the shirt sponsor, which was huge in Austin. It's obviously a brand associated with the city. I was there when they had the Q2 naming rights at the stadium. It's not really Q2. It's called the Treehouse. I'm trying to make that stick.
I love that, by the way. That's so good.
Make it stick, man.
So not only are we very jealous because you're, of course, over in the States, we can't even leave our houses over here at the minute. But not only that, you got to travel all the way to LA to cover Austin's first ever game in MLS. Tell me everything. What was that like on a personal level and for the team as well?
It was wonderful. I mean, it was one of the best weekends of my life. So the day started at 3 a.m. West Coast time. I'm on Central Time here in Austin, but you know, they're 2 hours earlier. So I had to be up at 5, get to the airport and whatnot. They organized the airport, they organized the flight really well. So that was flawless. Arrived in LA early doors and then just took to the streets, went to go find my people. Immediately was able to connect with some Verde and Black. And, you know, we ate, we visited, we walked the streets, they banged drums, they played trumpets. It really was...
I don't know if you can see... I just haven't been to a football game in so long. I've actually got goosebumps just hearing you say these things. And it's taken me back to Orlando and the smoke and the drums. And like, honestly, I'm so jealous right now. I've literally got goosebumps. It's incredible. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had to tell you.
Not at all. Well, how do you think I felt? I mean, I did have the privilege of attending the Austin FC, FC Dallas preseason La Copita match a couple of weeks prior. And that was a really weird sensation, Elliot, because the last professional soccer game that I've been to was a year ago. It was going to watch the Lionesses play in the She Believes Cup.
Yeah.
And that game took place in Toyota Stadium, where FC Dallas play. And I took my daughter, and about 2 or 3 days after that, America shut down. And so to return there, to have Toyota Stadium be the first place that I returned to, it was a little eerie. It was kind of weird. No fans, or very few fans at least. So this really was the first proper kind of return to a stadium with thousands of fans, you know, albeit not as many as we'd like, but still. So took off to the stadium. The Bank of California Stadium is a very, very impressive stadium. I mean, architecturally, it's breathtaking. So I promised Austin Anthem, who is the original supporters group of Austin FC, that I do some YouTube videos throughout the day, which just added to my workload. I don't know what I was thinking. So I was running around in the parking lot outside, like videoing the exterior of the stadium and providing commentary and then talking with the staff and trying to talk with the LAFC fans. And then went up to the press box at the Bank of California Stadium, which is something else. If folks want to check out my pictures on Twitter, LWOS Mark Turner, there's just a bunch of pictures on there from this past weekend. They walk you into this press box and they have these huge sliding windows, kind of what you would, the closest thing I can parallel them to is patio door, kind of the kind of glass patio doors. And they slid all the way open, providing exposure to the elements. So you could feel the heat of the sun, you could hear the noise from the crowd. I joked that you could smell the cut grass. You couldn't from that height, but it just sucked you in. It was so immersive. And I have to say that when the team came out to warm up and then of course came out again in uniform for the national anthem, and then the referee blew that whistle for the first time, I was really emotional. I've only been following this team for 2 years, and I had tears in the corner of my eyes. It was really something. So, and then had dinner with friends afterwards and then literally passed out at 10 o'clock that night, face down on the bed in my hotel room. I was so tired. I finished my article, shut the laptop, passed out, and that was that till the following morning. So it was a whirlwind trip.
When you look ahead to the rest of the season, I know I made my prediction. I love Austin. I love the roster. I think it's strange to say for an expansion side, but I think you'd have to be disappointed if you didn't make the playoffs with that roster. Am I on the right track there?
I have pegged them to make the playoffs. I mean, I pegged them to squeak in.
Yeah.
They're my pick to make the playoffs in the West. It's difficult. The West is such a strong conference. I think there are a lot of people being quite bullish about Minnesota's chances this season. And I think Minnesota are a great team and they're going to be fine and they're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, they got beat up one side and down the other by Seattle on opening day. So that just goes to show you, you know, the quality in this league. You cannot take your foot off the gas because anyone can beat anyone.
With how tight the West was last year, when you look, especially at the top few teams, there's every possibility that you can get away with playing that first half of the season, analyzing it, as long as you learn from that and you improve for that second half, you bring in what you need. There's definitely every chance that Austin make the playoffs for me. And I think Minnesota will be there as well. I love what Adrian Heath's doing there. Just a real slow, gradual build. And I think a lot of teams could probably really learn from that. When you look towards 2-3 years time, what's a realistic expectation for Austin FC? Do they become an established side? Because we've seen San Jose struggle. LA Galaxy can't do anything in the West now, you know, for the last few years. It's really, really tough. What do you hope for, and what do you believe is achievable?
Wow, that's a really great question. As I mentioned to you before we went on mic, I've been doing one podcast after the next this week, with it being Austin's first week and everyone wants to talk about it. And so I feel like I've answered all the same questions over and over again, trying to find interesting variations each time. And that's one question I've not been asked. And I think it's because, you know, we're kind of in the eye of the storm right now, right? Kind of the couple of weeks leading up to the opening game and all the furore, and now the aftermath. And also we're planning to take a big Austin contingent to Colorado this week. So we kind of basically shifted gears without catching breath. It's like LAFC right now, Colorado. So given that we're in the midst of this, I haven't really picked my head up and thought about that. I haven't thought, you know, 6 months from now, what will we be doing, let alone 2 or 3 years from now. I think what I'd like to see, you know, for sure, is to establish ourselves. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Yeah, MLS star, MLS Cup star on the jersey would be lovely 2 or 3 years from now. Who knows how feasible that is. But yeah, to establish ourselves, to really establish the way we play, right? I talked about it earlier in the interview, the Austin identity. What does it mean to be distinctively Austin FC? And I'd love to see, and this is going to sound absolutely ludicrous because we haven't played a single home game yet and we won't be until the middle of June, but I'd like to think that this incredible groundswell of excitement and support that Austin FC has received from its community continues on for the next 2-3 years, so that these record ticket sales that we saw and waiting lists that we presently have translate into an expanded stadium.
Yeah.
I think our stadium is too small. I think it could stand to be at least 10,000 seats bigger. And I can't imagine that the team ownership is going to leave that amount of money on the table too much longer. So I'd like to think within 18 months, couple of years, some kind of an expansion plan. There's an extra tier added, whatever it might be. I know you could put rickety sheds on the side of the field. I would pay $1,000 for a season ticket. I don't care. Let's go. But yeah, just in terms of goals, MLS Cup would be awesome. Establishing ourselves for sure. Making sure we have a concrete identity. And then making sure we get more people into the treehouse so we can make noise and support the team.
Mark, honestly, an absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for sharing your experience of that inaugural game, even though it was on the road in LAFC. I'm so jealous that you went to an actual real life football game. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And
yeah,
best of luck to Austin. They're my boys now.
Well, fantastic. Well, I'm so glad. And I'm glad your nephew, Austin, is going to get his jersey here shortly. I don't like doing self-promotion.
Oh, no, I was going to say, please do. Please tell us everything we need to know to follow you.
Well, I really just want to... I wrote an article this weekend that talks about the experience of going to that first game in LAFC. And it's not from my perspective. It was from other fans' perspective. I reached out to other folks who were there. Josh Babetsky, who was the founder and president of Austin Anthem, the original supporters group, he went, took his young son. He talked about the importance of that. Mm. We had folks there from Los Verdes. We had a guy there from Twin Oaks TV, who's one of the YouTube channels that follow Austin. And I wanted to hear from them why they did this. I mean, this was expensive. This was last minute. There was no guarantee they were going to get into the stadium. I at least was assured of that with a media credential. But they did this. They got in the stadium. They had that experience. Why was it important? What did it mean to them? So if folks want to go check out Last Word on Soccer, I should already know the website, shouldn't I? It's lastwordonsport.com/soccer, I believe. And then you can search by my name, Mark Turner. And I can't remember what I called my own article, but it's something along the lines of Austin FC fans show their true colors, something along those lines.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK Show.
So that's what happened when I caught up with Mark Turner from Last Word on Soccer, speaking about Austin FC, their debut season, the next couple of years ahead as well. It's really, really exciting. I'm so jealous that, you know, there's a team that have now got all that excitement ahead that we've gone through with Orlando and Atlanta, because it's certainly a roller coaster ride. Thank you so much to Mark for chatting to me. Genuinely, really, really, really enjoyed it. Great chat. Really nice guy. So thanks a million to him.
Right, I said at the start of the episode that a load of the old features that regular listeners to MLS UK show will know are coming back. By the way, if you are new to the podcast, welcome, whether you're watching us on YouTube or whether you're watching us listening to us for your podcast provider. You can listen back to all of our old episodes. Go to sport-social.co.uk and you can listen back on there, as well as other podcasts as well that are part of a Sports Social network of podcasts. But those regular listeners, it's time. It's time for a feature, a much-loved feature here on the MLS UK show. It's the Jason Crisis Right.
Yeah, I don't really know how this started or when it's going to end, to be honest. It should probably be quite soon. But this is our little guessing game. It's like The Price is Right. It's higher or lower. I've got one for you this week. Are you ready to play?
Of course. Let's do it.
For the first time in the new studio, Henry Hewitt, come on down. You don't know the trouble I had to go to. I had to sneak back into our old studio just to get this music, put it on a hard drive and bring it home.
There'll be someone out there who will be like, I hate that theme tune so much. Yeah. Like, why did you bother?
It nearly got lost, but it's here. Anyway, Chicharito, as we've mentioned already, scored a hat trick for LA Galaxy last night. So today, we're going to be looking at total hat-tricks scored by individual players.
Oh.
Okay, so for example, Robbie Keane scored 4 hat-tricks in his time in MLS. So I'm going to give you a name. You've got to tell me more or less. Sticking with LA Galaxy, Zlatan. Higher or lower than 4 hat-tricks?
Zlatan really only there for 2 years. I'm going to say lower.
It is lower, but it's only by 1. He's got 3 hat-tricks. Higher or lower than 3 hat-tricks, Sebastian Giovinco?
Lower.
It's higher. It's 4.
I always picture Giovinco scoring like 1s and 2s.
Yeah, I thought that was obvious because he was there for ages. I thought it'd be more, to be honest. Higher or lower, sticking with the MLS UK theme here, higher or lower, Sturgeon. Sturgeon.
Trinidad and Tobago's finest. I think Sturgeon did okay in MLS. I'm going to say, let's go higher.
It is higher. It's 5.
I knew he did okay.
5 hat tricks. By the way, that's as many as Chris Wondolowski.
Wow.
Okay. Higher or lower than 5 hat tricks, Taylor Twellman?
Oh, lower, but I think it'd be just lower.
It is lower. Taylor Twellman scored 3. Higher or lower than 3, Kai Kamara?
Higher, surely.
Kai Kamara's only got 2.
Oh.
Crazy, isn't it? Okay, a couple more. Higher or lower than 2, let's go with... Oh, Landon Donovan.
Donovan. He played in a very successful LA Galaxy team. He also won MLS Cup with San Jose... I'm going to go higher.
It is higher. He's got 4. And finally, Atlanta United's Joseph Martinez, higher or lower than 4?
Oh, I don't think he scored that many. I'm going to go lower.
Wrong.
Really?
He scored 6. 6 wow. Hat tricks. It's incredible. And that is the record. And the most hat tricks ever scored in MLS.
He's had a season out as well.
It's absolutely crazy, but yeah.
Well, not too good today, I've got to say. But
got a couple wrong.
I'm rusty. I've not done Crisis Right for a while. So next week I'll be better.
Hopefully you were playing along at home. Let us know how you got on.
Yeah, comment below on YouTube or tweet us at MLS UK Show. If you did better than me, feel free to tweet me as well at Henry_Hewitt. And say you did better than me. Right, another feature that we've brought back, just because last year, conveniently, we did half of the teams. So now we've got another series season of half the teams to do. It's Henry's Guide to North America. I decided last season that we know a lot about certain states or certain
Yeah, you always see New York and LA on the telly, don't you?
Yeah, but we don't really know about all the states or cities that are house MLS teams. So I decided to do a little guide to what we can find in these places. As I said before, listen back if you want to hear what I've done so far. So we're going to start off series four with Henry's Guide to Austin.
Famous, of course, for its country music.
I think we're getting closer.
Oh, no.
Well, we're getting closer. I think New York, okay, I'll say they're not really famous for their country music, but we're getting slightly closer. Nashville will be last, just because I want to get the usage out of this. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henry.
Did you know that Austin is the capital of Texas, which is the second biggest state in the US after Alaska? Although I'm not really counting Alaska. So it's the biggest state in the US because everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. I better get there fast.
The population, it is 950,000, which is the 11th biggest city in the USA. And it's known as the City of the Violet Crown. That's because when the sun sets above the hills outside of Austin, it's like a glow. So it's like a crown around the city.
I never thought I'd actually learn stuff in this. I thought we were just messing around. That's really good.
Austin FC is Austin's only professional sports team. So until until Austin FC came, they didn't have one.
Wow.
They have college football, but they're not professional. And every year, now this is my favorite fact. Now, I always point out, which is my favorite fact. This is my favorite fact about Austin. Every year, and this happened last Saturday, actually. It's the last Saturday in April. Every year, they celebrate Eeyore's birthday from Winnie the Pooh. They have
the most depressing character in anything.
Exactly, yeah. They celebrate his birthday. They get big drums and bang them. And it seems like a really colourful party. But as one of the most depressing characters in the cartoon history.
Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
If you know what relation Eeyore has to Austin, please let us know at MLS UK Show. Austin has the largest bat colony in the US. There's over 1.5 million bats in Austin. It has the Junk Museum.
Museum?
Yeah, we've had the Spy Museum in DC. We had the Spam Museum in Minnesota. Austin has the Junk Museum.
You're not going to beat the Spam Museum.
No. Austin has an average of 300 sunny days a year, so it is the sunniest city in the US. And more than 10% of Austinites have German heritage.
Wow.
And I recently did one of these ancestry...
Sorry, do you want more music?
No, I've nearly done.
Okay.
We've run over, but this is a good point. I recently did one of them ancestry sort of DNA tests.
Did you?
It came back, I'm 100% UK and Ireland. Do you know you do these? And mate,
were you hoping for a bit of Atlanta?
I was hoping for something interesting. Like Poppy did hers and she got a bit of Sweden and Norway, like Scandinavia. Nice. No, I'm 100% UK and Ireland.
I can believe that.
I'm 57% Northwest England, where I live, where Manchester is. So literally 57%. My family have not moved.
That's because if you look at Henry like this, 57% of him is just gravy.
Yeah, northern gravy. Yeah, I think I had like 15% Irish and then the rest Scottish and Welsh. But I couldn't believe it. I thought, what a waste of money that is. And to round off the Austin and Henry's Guide to Austin, famous people from Austin include Dakota Johnson, the actress, Nelly.
Oh, yes, Nelly. Wait a minute, I thought he was from St. Louis.
He's either lives there or he's born there. Anyway, I'm going off famous birthdays or whatever his dot.
He's from Nellyville,
and probably that's what I thought. Nellyville's in Austin, and the most famous Austinite is Stone Cold Steve.
Oh yes, of course he is.
Yeah, because he's not really called Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Who knew his name wasn't actually Austin
or Stone Cold?
Anyway, thank you very much for another wonderful guide to Austin. I genuinely want to go one day, actually.
Yeah,
I want to go to that stadium. The Q2, is it?
Yes, or as you called it, the... you've just literally done the interview.
The Treehouse.
The Treehouse, there we go. That's what Mark wants it to be called. Yeah, thank you for indulging that. If you want to suggest your place, your city, your state, or another MLS city or state that you want to know, get in touch with us. hello@mls.show. You can email us or get in touch with us on social media.
And I know that we just constantly ask you for things and ask you to comment on things and whatever, but seriously, I find it's such an education. I love it. When I see just people that follow us, they tweet us and they'll say, listening to the podcast, and they'll send a picture. And it just, because we are here in a white room in the UK, It fascinates me. We're not allowed to go out and do anything at the minute. So people have tweeted us before with pictures saying, oh, I'm listening to the pod, and they're like walking past the Atlanta United training ground. Was it John Nason who did that? Then, you know, I see people in Kansas just like in a field. It fascinates me because America and Canada, every step from state to state is so different. It looks so different. So, just send us pictures of like where you're listening, what things look like for you on a daily basis. I find it really interesting. Henry doesn't care.
I do care.
This week in MLS.
Before we get into our predictions for this weekend, I've just remembered something that somebody tweeted us, and I thought, I've got to bring it to the show. I can't let this lie. These people anger me, upset me.
Wait, so sorry to interrupt. You've literally just gone from, we love you telling us where you're watching the podcast or listening to the podcast from. Please send us pictures. We love America. We love Canada. Literally, then the next thing you say is, do you know what really annoys me about people who listen to this podcast?
No, I'm being serious. I mean this.
Right.
Wait till you hear this.
Go on.
People tweeted when we put out the last episode, and the tweet went out and it is like, right, listen now, the first episode of season 4, we're back, new studio, blah, blah, blah. Someone tweeted about 4 hours later and they went, this was great. Listened on times 1.5.
What? To the whole podcast?
The whole podcast. Listen, do you know on your podcast app, you can play back at different speeds?
Yeah.
So someone said, oh, they listened to the whole thing at times 1.5, so 1.5 times quicker. And then someone replied saying, oh, I do. I listen on times two sometimes. Times two?
I mean, I know we ran over. I know it was a bumper episode last time.
It was a long episode. It did go on a bit.
But still.
Times two. I had to check this out to find out how it sounds, right? So this is my findings.
Full of frustration.
So this is normal, right? So yeah. Times one.
Despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation.
That's 1.5.
British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and Wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride.
Times two. Someone listened to the podcast at this speed.
And they found Major League Soccer.
Yes, we are back. Season 4, episode 1 of the MLS UK show from our brand new studio. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
We've got loads and loads to talk to you about, so let's get on with it.
And this is how laughing sounds, by the way, on the podcast, right? So when we have a little giggle,
yeah,
this is how it sounds on
Henry Hewitt. It's not even a lie.
And we know.
Do you know what's funny is that that person who's listening to 1.5, that'll now, that little bit there will be what, at 3?
Yeah, so if it's 1.5, that'll be 3, and if you're listening on times 2, that'll be times 4.
That's intense. I don't know how you can do it. I mean, thanks for listening. You know, we'll take anything, but still, that's really intense.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be that enjoyable, but who's to say how enjoyable it is at times 1, let's be honest.
Right, well, yeah, I mean, I say thanks, get in touch or whatever, but I don't know what to say to that. But
if you could please get in touch and let us know what you... Oh, it's really hard to speak that. If you could please get in touch and let us know what you think to the podcast and what speed you listen to it, it's at MLS UK show, or you can email us hello@mls.show.
That was fair play. That was impressive. Right? Yeah, and then those people listening, that would be at like +6, I think. Times six. Right, let's have a look to this weekend in MLS. We're going to do our first set of predictions of the season, and it's another bumper weekend. Before that is the Champions League, so good luck to all the sides still left in the Champions League from MLS. There's 5.
We're doing well this year.
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
5 out of 8, so hopefully we'll actually get a winner this time. It's Atlanta v Philadelphia, Toronto v Cruz Azul, Columbus versus Monterrey, and Portland versus Club America. It's actually, I think, it's the first time, I think it's in a long time, it could be 10 years. I did write it down, but my notes are over there behind the camera, so I'm not going to get them. But I think it's the first time in a long time that there's 2 MLS sides facing each other.
Yeah, it's a shame that they've drawn each other, because, like I just said, MLS sides are doing really well in this. It seems a shame that, you know, they've got to play each other.
It is a shame, but as 5 out of 8,
yeah,
statistically one was gonna have
probably, probably gonna happen, wasn't it?
So good luck to them. It's the first leg this week. Looking ahead to this weekend then, Saturday evening it's New York Red Bulls versus Chicago kicking things off. Gotta say, it was nice to see Chicago at Soldier Field with fans as well. That was
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I'm actually going to make a note of these, because what happens is we do these predictions and then neither of us write them down and we forget. So I'm taking a note here. New York Red Bulls versus Chicago Fire.
Okay.
Go on, stick a score on it.
I think Red Bulls will be very disappointed with their start to the season, naturally, when you've lost 2 out of 2. I think they'll come back and win. No, I think it'll be 3-1.
I've just written 3-1, as you can see. So we've gone for the same score.
Oh, great.
Strong start.
RSL versus SKC is the abbreviation derby in MLS. RSL sharing their ground with Vancouver this season.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I think Kansas win this 1-0.
I said that I didn't think RSL would have a good season, so that naturally meant they would go to Minnesota and win in their yeah. opening game.
Oh, of
this
course.
But I think RSL might have a good start to this season, but they'll tail off. So I'm going to go 2-1 RSL.
2-1, okay. Montreal are playing Columbus. This is a big game, I think, because we've seen a strong start from Montreal, and we backed Columbus as being a team that are going to be up there. They'll That's have true. Come off the back of their midweek game as well in the Champions League. So what are you going for?
I'm going to go for... Because normally I would probably go for Columbus because Montreal are playing at Inter Miami. But they, as we saw, they've done quite well in their opening games. Not playing at home. So I think this will be a high-scoring game again. I think it'll be 2-2.
I've gone 2-2 as well.
We spend too much time
right?
with each other.
Are you right? He's looking at this.
Houston versus LAFC.
Oh, this could get ugly.
It could, but Houston surprised me against San Jose. I thought they played really... I don't think San Jose played that great, but I think Houston played very well. They then lost to Portland, whereas LAFC have taken 4 points from their first two games. I think they'll make it 7. I think it'll be... I think 3-1 to LAFC.
I've gone 2-1. Thank goodness we've actually gone for something different.
Still Saturday night if you're in North America. However, this is midnight on Sunday morning here in the UK. It's New England Revolution versus Atlanta. New England Revolution. I'm going to be tell you into something I've not told you. I had a little bet on New England Revolution.
Did you?
Each way to win MLS Cup because of Bruce Arena. And it was good odds. So if they get to the conference final, I think...
I'm not surprised it was good odds.
Yeah. No, I think they can get to conference... I'm not doing it because they. I don't think they'll win it. I think they'll go quite close and I'll still get money.
All right. So you're going for a New England win against Atlanta?
No, I'm not. I think 1-1. Atlanta have impressed me at the start of the season, where Martinez hasn't really played as well, or not as much as... he would normally do that. So they've still got him to come in. I think both sides will probably take a draw in this one.
Okay. I've mentioned that Cincinnati have really disappointed me in their start to the season. Naturally, they're playing Orlando next. We'll probably win 5-0. I have to go for an Orlando win because we need to get some points on the board. So I'm going to go 2-0 Orlando.
What did you go for New England, by the way?
3-1 Atlanta.
Ah, okay. Well, because you said Atlanta will win, I think Orlando will win. Yeah, sorry, Cincinnati. I think they'll score, but I think Orlando, this will be the game where you sort of start your season off. I'm going to be 4-1.
4-1, wow, okay. Yeah.
Philadelphia versus NYCFC.
Ah, this is hard because New York played really well, but it was against Cincy, and once you've scored 2, you score 3, and then 4 and 5. They're away. I'm going for a Philly win. I'm going to go 2-1.
I think New York City will win 2-1, actually. I think Philly will have quite a slow start to the season.
What did you say, 2-1?
2-1. A hangover from last season, I think Philadelphia will have.
Okay.
FC Dallas versus Portland then at the Toyota Stadium.
Yeah, I have to go Portland here. I'm sorry.
Go on, what score?
I think narrow. I'll go... No, not now. I'm going to go 2-0 Portland.
I think this will be 2-2.
2-2. Goals, goals, goals. Love it. Minnesota versus Austin FC.
Now, this has become actually quite a big game for Minnesota, hasn't it? They've lost the first two. They got thumped by Minnesota. Sorry, by Seattle. But I think Austin will go and win this.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they will. I think it'll be 2-1.
Nothing to do with the fact that loads of Austin fans are watching and listening to this, and Henry wants to endear himself.
Hey, I've been there on Henry's Guide to North America. I like the place.
Okay, I'm going for 1-1.
San Jose versus DC United.
This is tough.
A kind of Jekyll and Hyde starts to the season. Yeah, both of them.
San Jose, I can't work out at all. I'll go home win. I'm going to go 3-1 to San Jose.
I feel like I'm going for a lot of draws, and I mean boring, but I think this would be a draw. No. San Jose, they played well at home in the last game. I think they'll continue it. I think it'll be 2-0.
2-0. Okay, it's locked in. Nashville, I've slowly becoming my third team behind Austin. Nashville versus Miami, who are slowly... No, they're not. They're really not. I've got to go for a Nashville win. I can't bear to say anything else. Miami did look good, to be fair. Narrow 1-0 victory. I don't even believe what I'm saying, but I have to just say it and pretend that I believe it's true.
Well, I think by Poppy's reactions, not only their new kit this year in a kit review, but also the pink jacket that Phil Neville wore in the last weekend, I don't think I'll be allowed back in my house if I don't say that Miami wins. So I say 2-1 Miami.
2-1 Miami, okay. It's locked in. Couple more to do. This month. This is what I don't like, right? So my alarm goes off on a Monday morning at 4 a.m. so that I can go and do my breakfast radio show. Seattle, LA is at 2 a.m. in the UK, and Vancouver, Colorado is at 3 a.m.
So you'll catch, knowing the kickoff times in MLS, you'll probably catch the last hour of Seattle.
Well, now I want to watch them. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to have to stay up. I want to see them.
Or you could... Well, you'll have to go to sleep Sunday...
After the Nashville game.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
If you want to listen to Elliot's breakfast
on
radio
Monday
show, signal1.co.uk. Listen on Monday to see whether he manages to get into work. Go on then, Seattle, LA Galaxy.
I think this is a narrow Seattle win. I'm going 2-1.
Seattle... I think LA Galaxy will score somehow, but I think, yeah, Seattle will take advantage more. I think Seattle will take advantage more of LA Galaxy's defense rather than the other way around, so I think it'd be 3-1 to Seattle.
3-1, okay. Final game, Vancouver versus Colorado.
Vancouver playing in RSL's ground. Although they beat Portland, didn't they? So maybe a change of scenery is good for them. Where do I start with this? I'm going to just say a draw. This will be the 0-0 this weekend.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I'm going 1-1.
Okay.
1-1 and 0-0. There we go. Predictions are locked in. Where do we stand with predictions? I know you won the first year. I won the second year. What happened last year?
Last year was void.
Yeah.
Everything was void.
COVID.
So, yeah. So we're going into this afresh. Give us your predictions for what's happening this weekend. Again, message us. YouTube, comment below the video, or you can tweet us at MLS UK show. You can email us hello@mls.show. And also, somebody said on Twitter this week, they said, do you have a section where you answer questions? And we haven't really got that because we felt, well, who cares what we've got to say? But if you do care and you want to ask us a question and get our opinion on something, then message us with your question.
I genuinely thought about doing a Q&A on Instagram this weekend on our account. And can I just be really transparent here? Okay. We have thousands of listeners to this podcast. We've got no followers on Instagram. Mm. No one follows us on Instagram. So can that be the challenge for this week? Follow us at MLS UK show on Instagram. And then we'll start doing a few more. We can do some lives. We can do some Q&As. But we need some friends first, please.
We have done one Q&A on Instagram that I did, but then it was just people asking for Poppy's opinions on kits because I mentioned that she was sat next to me as I were doing it. So
I've got these new jeans. Can you tell me what Poppy thinks?
Yes. But feel free, ask us a question if you want. So that's it for this episode of the MLS UK show. We've got two more things to do. The second one is to remind you to rate the podcast, which we're doing a bit. But the first one is to get the answer to the game with a changing name.
Yeah, so the game with a changing name, we give you the career path of a player who's played in MLS and in the UK. And I told you that this week's player started his career at Beerschot.
Do we still not know where they are?
I'll have a look. Here you go. It's...
I don't even know how you spell it.
Oh, it's Dutch.
Ah, Beerschot.
So it's the Dutch league.
Right, okay. They play in purple like Orlando.
Then they went on to Celtic, then Southampton, and they played for another Premier League team, which is where they became a big name.
Is that team Tottenham Hotspur?
It is Tottenham Hotspur.
And is that player Victor Wanyama?
Victor Wanyama, now, of course, at Montreal. I remember when he signed, it was a big deal, and I thought, I can't use him yet because it'll be really obvious. Yeah. So I've double-checked. We haven't done him before. Victor Wanyama currently made 23 appearances for Montreal already. So he's almost made half the amount of appearances that he did for Spurs. It's flying by.
If you want to Google some of Victor Wanyama's tweets, then feel free to do it because he has tweeted some gold before. Just random stuff. I think it was when Twitter first started, he just tweeted random stuff. So Google it. It's quite funny.
And while you're online checking out Victor Wanyama, make sure you leave a review for this podcast. Make sure you leave a rating and a comment. What's the rule about the rating, Henry?
Oh, I never do this. LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only.
5 stars only. When you leave us a comment, let's set a challenge, shall we?
Yeah.
Leave us a comment. Let's get as many people doing this as possible. Leave us a comment. You can write whatever you want about the podcast. Tell us however terrible we are. But make sure it includes these words.
Can I have one?
Yeah, if you leave us a rating and it says...
Can I have one?
We promise we'll read it out on the next episode.
There you go. Leave us a review, leave us a rating, and make sure it includes...
Can I have one?
You know, last night when she recorded that, literally for the rest of the night, I was just sending her into the kitchen saying, oh, are you going to get something to eat? She went, yeah, I might just get a biscuit or a bit of chocolate. And then I'd
go, can I have one?
Just anything. And that'll continue for a long time. And if you want to tweet her, I think, let me just check. I should really know this considering I'm marrying her, but her Twitter.
In a month.
Twitter handle at PoppyNIC13. So PoppyNIC13. If you want to tweet her just saying, can I have one? Then feel free.
Let's get it trending. Use the hashtag.
Can I have one?
Anyway, enough of that. Thanks for listening to episode 2 of season 4 of the MLS UK show. Over to this guy to say.
See ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Social Podcast Network.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.